Hey everyone, Pastor Darren here with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. Still tracking through the book of Luke.
Yes, sir.
So in the book of Luke, we're in the last week of Jesus' life and before he goes to the cross. Mm-hmm. And as you said, this last week is going to actually take us all the way through to Easter. Are you going to miss this series?
Yeah, actually. We've been thinking about
It's like your own kid. It's like part of our family.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there's people who've come to the river who haven't heard me preach anything else but the book of Luke. Because we've been in it for almost 2 years. So, yeah, we're going to do something else after Easter. And they're going to be like, what's church?
Going on?
Yeah. Maybe we'll just start over. Just start doing it again.
Luke all over again. Yeah. So Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. And like you said on Sunday, many were excited because they think he's coming to overthrow the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. But that excitement turns to anger because he's not doing what they expected him to do. He's doing something completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like we said, those folks, they're fans, not disciples. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a good analogy for the Cowboys, but, you know, fans, when you don't perform the way that they expect you to perform, they turn on you easy.
Yeah.
And so that's the difference. Now, and they haven't turned on him yet, but the religious leaders sure have. And they want to kill him. They want him dead. They're trying to figure out how to kill him. And they're part of that work is working the crowds, right, to get the crowds to turn against him. So, because one reason why they can't get their hands on him yet is because the people still like him. And so that, you know, the religious leaders, a lot of their power is in what the people feel, you know. And mm-hmm. so if the people like Jesus, they can't turn
the crowd against him, then they got him.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So last week we talked about those religious leaders, the Sadducees coming to trap Jesus because they wanted him dead.
Right.
And Jesus in the past, he used parables, a lot of parables to speak out. But now, like you said on Sunday, he's openly speaking out against the religious leaders. Mm-hmm. He's being very direct on who he's speaking to.
Right. Yeah, you have a couple passages in there right before the one that we did this Sunday where the Pharisees try to trap Jesus with a political type question. The Sadducees come in with a theological question. And both of those ideas, what they're doing with those questions, are trying to get him to say something that could give them grounds to arrest him. Mm-hmm. So whether it's politically against the Roman government just theologically, which thank goodness, because somebody who's preached a lot, I've probably said some dumb things, right? If they can get him to say something where they can theologically trap him, they have grounds to arrest him then and even possibly kill him. They took it very seriously. And so that's what they're doing, is they're trying to figure out a way to trap him at this point.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, he's typically deals with them in parables and things like that. And not anymore, right?
Yeah.
Now, he's said some harsh things against them before. But now they spend a couple of passages trying to trap him. And then he's like, you know what? You guys gotta watch out for these idiots. Like, you know, he doesn't call them that, but he says, you know, you gotta beware of these guys. And so he starts to now speak out just directly against them.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting.
And that's where we picked up on Sunday in chapter 20. On Sunday, Jesus is going after the heart of those religious leaders and expose their heart and who they are, mm-hmm. really to the core.
Yep.
And in 20, Luke 20:45. So, like you said, there's a big crowd listening to his teaching because it's that Passover celebration. Everybody's mm-hmm. coming in from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And he says flat out, be aware of these religious leaders, these scribes. He's calling them by name, calling them out.
Calling them out. Yeah, he's naming them. He's putting a name on it.
And these are the most respected, most honored in the community. Whatever they say goes in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bigwigs. They're big time. And Jesus goes right after them and tells the community, hey, be aware of those guys.
Yeah, and it's hard for us to equate it because we live in a different world today. We don't have the community leaders like they had back then and in the same sense. So it's hard for us to understand how revered these guys were because mm-hmm. even now, you know, things in our world are so political or there's so much controversy around any leader, regardless of where they come, right? There's a group of people that love them and a group of people that hate them, right? Like, we're laughing. Even Taylor Swift is on the Super Bowl and there's people that love her and people that hate her. And you're like, why? Like, what's wrong with you people? Like, how is Taylor Swift, like, controversial in this sense, you know, where we gotta, it's a big deal, you know, whatever. I guess the point is, like, we don't have the same understanding as they did because we don't have those types of people that they would have. But these religious leaders were the the most respected, revered people in the Jewish community. I mean, they were honored, they were respected, they were as important as you could be in a community, right? And so, yeah, they're very revered. And so for Jesus to just say, you know, well, you got to beware of these guys is a very strong statement, because he's saying they're not who you think they are. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thing when you put all of your trust and faith and respect and honor on a group of people, mm-hmm. To have him kind of speak out in that way.
So he goes, like you say, he goes right at them. But he starts off with like their outward appearance, what they're doing, mm-hmm. The airs that they're putting on, those fancy robes. Says they walk around in those Gucci robes, yep. And those Prada
that's
sandals.
It. That's it. Yep.
And they walk around Walmart or the marketplace. Sorry.
Yeah, not the Walmart. Yeah, it's different. Believe me. Yeah, they're walking Walmart in the marketplace. You cannot compare. Yeah, because you're not you. It's true. There's probably people wearing robes at Walmart, but it's not the same kind of robe. You know,
it's like a SpongeBob robe.
It's the back robe that's revealing stuff that doesn't need to be revealed. Yeah, exactly.
He says they. So you mentioned they walk around the marketplace and they're craving that attention that mm-hmm. they get when they walk around. They enjoy that yep. celebrity status.
Yeah, the marketplace was the hub of the community. It's where everybody in the community went to get, you know, whatever food, but not just food and groceries type stuff, but for social life. You know, you're hanging out, you're seeing your friends, and you're talking. And as these guys walk through the marketplace, it's almost like they float. You know, yeah. they come through, and it's like, oh my goodness, the Pharisees are here, or the scribes are here, and you know, going to throw a call back to Taylor Swift, it'd be like Taylor Swift walking through the marketplace, and imagine how people would act, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, and so that's kind of the same vibe, and Jesus saying they love that.
Yeah.
They love how they get treated, and they love the respect.
And they soak up that adoration, mm-hmm. and like you said, they get that prime seating yeah. in the temple,
yep.
Special attention wherever they go. They get, yep. hey, you get the bypass, the yep. lift up the velvet rope. Come
that's
on in.
That's it. Yep. They're going to Disney World, and they skip all the lines.
All the lines.
They get straight to the front, yep.
They get the prime seats at the wedding.
Yep.
They expect that attention.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah, exactly. It's not even, it's probably to a point where it's not like, you know, if you or me go somewhere and it's like, hey man, come sit in the seat
of
honor.
Are you sure? Are you
yeah,
okay?
Exactly. Yeah. You're going, wow, you know, I can't believe that you would want me to sit. That means a lot to me that you would honor me in this way. That's how hopefully we would feel about it. For these guys, it's almost like they walk in and it's like, wait, what do you mean? I, of course I'm in the front. Or, right. you know, if they don't get the seat of honor, it's, you know, they're throwing the temper tantrum kind of fit because they're expecting the best seats and the best of whatever, and that's not coming by them walking in, earning it, or paying for it. It's people trying to honor them and respect them, and, mm-hmm. and shower them with these ideas, and so so they've gotten used to it. It's a way of life, and they love it.
Yeah, and Jesus is saying, beware of that. Be aware of those people. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned on Sunday, it's nice to have these nice things.
Yeah.
But it's really the heart behind it.
Yeah, it's not an attack on, you know, we're laughing about the Gucci robe. It's not an attack on nice clothes or, you know, having, you know, a bunch of pairs of Jordans or something there. And it's nothing like that. That's not the problem. It's the fact that this is, these guys are called to do a certain, like, the standing that they have in the community that gives them all of these benefits is supposed to be a result of them serving their community, right? And so they're getting all these perks of this job. They're getting all these perks of their religious position in the community. And that's become kind of the point for them, is the perks that they enjoy. But they're enjoying the perks of this job, the respect and the honor and the praise and the glory that they're getting. But they're missing out on the purpose of the job. And that's what Jesus is going to reveal, is he's like, you're in love with all the perks of this thing, but you miss the point of who you're supposed to be as a religious leader. You know, you've lost the idea behind that, the heart behind it. And so that's what he's going to attack. He's not attacking, you know, having nice clothes or enjoy or being appreciated. Like, we all want to be appreciated. We all want to be valued. Like, we like it when we do our jobs and someone says, hey man, you did a great job. I really appreciate, like that's something we should honor one another, and we should show one another respect, and we mm-hmm. should, you know, we should appreciate one another and value one another. Like, that's not this isn't a passage that says, hey, if somebody, you know, shows you honor or appreciates you, you shun it. You go, no, right. That's not the idea, right? It's different than that. So,
Well, then to that point, he mentions kind of what their job is supposed to be, which is to help the widows and those in need.
Yeah.
But their heart was far, really far from that. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to make sure they, like you said, they got their cut.
Yeah.
And helping the widow. It was more about what they can get versus what they can give.
Yeah. So Jesus says, he goes through the passage and he's like, this is what they like. They like the nice robes. They like the, you know, which is nice clothing, like their nice clothes. They like their standing in the community. Here's all the things they love. And then he says, but this is who they are, right? So this is what they love. The nice clothes, the position, the honor, the respect that they get. They love the celebrity status. But this is who they are. And he says they devour widows' houses and pray basically fancy prayers on the side of the road so everybody can think they're holy. Mm-hmm. And the devour the widows' houses idea is, again, in their position, it's a position supposed to be of servitude, right? And so they're supposed to, in the community, he mentions the widow because the widow is the less fortunate. The widow is the person who is vulnerable, okay? And that's a theme in Jesus' ministry, is people who are vulnerable, and that the Christian or the disciple should love and serve and care for the vulnerable, right? And that's a constant theme. You see that in Paul's writing, in James' writing, right? It's all throughout the New Testament. And so here you have the widow Jesus uses as an example, who's the most vulnerable in the society, right? Her husband's dead or has passed away. And that makes her as a woman very vulnerable. She doesn't have anyone to provide for her financially. She doesn't have anyone to protect her. Again, we talked about this last week. She doesn't have anyone to care for her. And so she is now vulnerable to society. And it's the religious leader's job as servants of the community to come in and care for her, help her provide for her, help her get her house in order, help her pay her bills, help her make sure the budget's right. Like all these things. And Jesus says, you do that. But you do it at a price.
Yeah.
You don't do it to serve her and love her and care for her. You come in and you help her, but then you make sure you get your cut out of it. And Jesus is going, man, that's messed up. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, that's not how we're supposed to do for people, right? That's like us in the community. You think, I love my city. Us showing up at somebody's house in need and being like, hey, we're gonna help you out. We're gonna provide for you. But by the way, we need to see your bank account so we can make sure we get ours, right? That's not how it works. Yeah. That's not what you're supposed to do. That's not the heart of Jesus. And so he's like, man, he calls them out. He says, this is who they are. He says, so they go and devour these widows' houses and completely just steal from her. And then they go on the side of the street and pray these big fancy prayers, all in the name of people thinking that they're holy. Mm-hmm. And so they know the big theological words. They walk out and they say these things and people are really impressed by it. And Jesus is going, but nothing about them is real. Nothing about them is genuine. Everything about them is fake, and nothing about them is sacrificial. And meaning they sacrifice nothing for the widow. They go and help the widow to benefit themselves, and then go and pretend like they're super religious.
Yeah.
And Jesus, and you know, we see this a lot in our world, and we talked about that Sunday. We do see that a lot, even in the church and places where we. But anyway, Jesus looks at that and he reveals it, and he's like, "That is not who we are called to be."
So Jesus lays it out. He's like, he shows them, okay, you guys have these fancy robes. Mm-hmm. You're walking around. People are kissing the ring. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be serving the widows.
Yeah.
But this is who you really are.
Yeah.
This is the heart of who you really are.
Yeah.
You're taking advantage of people in need.
Yeah.
Vulnerable. Those are in a vulnerable situation.
Yeah.
So he's basically blowing up their hustle. They got this little thing going on.
Yeah.
Am I right?
They got this
side hustle going on.
That's it. No wonder they want to kill them. You know, you don't mess with their money.
Yeah, you mess with people's money.
Then things get real, yeah. Yeah, you can talk about, you know, talk about all the theology you want, but you come after my money, we got a problem.
You're blowing up my Gucci, my Gucci budget and all that.
How are they going to afford the Gucci robes and the nice J's if they got, you know, don't have their, don't got their widow money?
So Jesus is saying, you know, a real relationship with God motivates us to care for those in need, but not take advantage of them, but really causes us to serve.
Yeah, and authentic relationship with God should always draw us to be men and women who care for the vulnerable, not take advantage of the vulnerable. I mean, that's like, man, if you got a problem with that, then you got a problem with the foundational like tenets of the Christian faith. Like that is Christianity 101. This is who we are, and this is who we're called to be. And the beautiful thing about this passage to me is the kind of the juxtaposition of Jesus and the religious leaders, because you have Jesus, like you said, blowing up the side hustle and going, this is what they love. They love the honor and the praise and all this kind of stuff, but this is who they are. They're men who steal from the vulnerable and then pretend to be holy. And Jesus exposes that as he is days from the cross. Mm-hmm. And to me, there is no more beautiful picture. Maybe I wouldn't say no more beautiful, but it is one of the most beautiful pictures of who Jesus is, that he says, exposes these men for who they are as he's about to head to the cross and lay his life down for all humanity. Because see, he doesn't just talk the talk. He's literally about to do the most sacrificial, loving thing that's ever been done in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. And says, this is who you imitate me, not these fools. And it's beautiful, man. To me, it's absolutely beautiful.
And this is a warning to all of us, because this heart is common to the human experience, as you said on Sunday.
Yep.
In our jobs, family,
yeah,
marriages, looking to be served, yeah, versus serving someone else.
Yeah, it's the idea of sometimes we can get caught up in looking at, like the religious leaders did. You know, maybe they started out with good intentions, but over time they got used to the praise, they got used to the power. And they kind of, you know how we can change, our hearts can harden over time, and yeah, we can change over time. And it's a warning to us as Christians that we don't become like them, that we look around the spaces that we operate in and don't see them as places and spaces to serve us only, to benefit us only, but that we go in with a servant's heart, looking to be a blessing to our families, to our jobs, to in our relationships, that those things in our eyes don't exist to serve me, but we really look to serve them, yeah, right? And, you know, I think I said it Sunday, I can't remember exactly how I said it, but there's no more dangerous person than a leader who uses his position to serve himself rather than serve the people that he leads. Yeah. And that's kind of, as Christians, I think that's a warning for us, you know, and in our entire lives.
So how can we recognize this in ourselves? Because like you said, it's so common. It's mm-hmm. just like, if this is all we do, this is all we know.
Yeah.
It's about me. Mm-hmm. How can we recognize that in ourselves?
Man, that is a fantastic question. I think it starts with, like everything, it starts with the Holy Spirit. I think mm-hmm. it starts with the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I think it starts with having a soft heart. Because we said Sunday, the beautiful thing about this passage is that Jesus exposes the heart. The hard thing about this passage is that Jesus exposes the heart, mm-hmm. because he really does go after the core of the religious leaders' hearts. And in doing that, he also goes after the core of our hearts.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, we like praise. We like, you know, we like to be, everybody wants to be honored. Everybody wants to be respected. Everybody wants to walk in and be loved and adored, right? And we might say we don't, we may not like the attention, but in our hearts, we like that, you know? And so, and again, there's nothing wrong with that in of itself, but if we are manipulating in our relationships and our jobs and so that we get that, mm-hmm. then that's sin, right? And that's the point. And so we have to have soft heart to allow Jesus to expose that in us, and then examine those relationships, examine them. So I think the way I would say that we can be aware of it is self-examination and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us in it. And so process and think through, hey, husband and wife, you know, kids, family, relationships, friendships, you know, in those, how do I approach those things? How do I look at those? What am I seeking to get out of this? And ask God to expose it, you know, in your job, if you lead people, or even you're being led by people, do I walk in this place wanting to use and manipulate? Am I only trying to get up, you know, advance up the ladder? Am I sacrificing my integrity to make people, for my benefit, you know, and really examine that. Allow God to talk to us, because, you know, there's certain things like the Pharisees in this passage that are just accepted in our culture and secular culture because that's just the way everybody else does it, right? In your job, it's expected that you use people. Mm-hmm. In your job, it's expected that you you know, sacrifice other people at the benefit of your job. And even in Christians say, well, it's what everybody else said. Well, of course, it's what's best for my family. So that's what I'm going to do. You know, I had somebody say that to me the other day, a couple weeks ago, this is what's best for my family. And you're going, well, just because you might think it's best for your family doesn't mean that it's right. Let me say that a different way. Just because it might benefit your family in the short term doesn't mean it's what's best for your family, right? What's best for your family is that that you're a man or woman of integrity, that you're a man or woman who honors Jesus, and maybe your family has to sacrifice in the short term, but in the long term, that's what's best for your family, that you're a man or woman with morals that honors and God with the way that you live your life.
That was between you and I.
Hey, sorry, Darren. No, that was about Pastor Joel. He said he's trying to take out his the senior pastor here. He wants to run this down. just kidding. Sorry, that got way off topic there. But sometimes we can justify our actions by saying, well, that's what's best for my family. Yeah. Well, that's a lie that you tell yourself to make yourself feel better about being a butthead. That's the way I would say it.
And like you said,
sorry for the harsh language.
That's a short term.
Can we beep that out? Yeah.
But like you said, that is short term. It's like a short term little high. You get you get that little extra money, but that's going to be gone. Then what? Yeah. You got to keep upping yourself to get it.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe one day, you know, maybe you advance real far in your career and you maybe you got that nice...
But to what expense?
Well, yeah. maybe you're sitting on a lake house with nice cars and you got all these things, but what benefit is it to sacrifice your soul, as Jesus said? So, and what benefit is it to your family if you, you have nice things, but you're like these scribes? Yeah. Like I said, there's nothing real about them. They're fake. There's nothing genuine. They're not sacrificial. And if you're that way towards your job and the people that you operate in business, I would bet there's probably some of that in the way you treat your husband or wife. Mm-hmm. And I would bet there's some, because if that's who you are, if you're manipulative like that and you use people like that, then you're going to use your wife, you're going to use your husband, you're going to use your kids, you're going to use your friends. And you may not see it that way. We may not see it that way, but that's what happens. Yeah. It bleeds into, you know, how you are in one thing is how you are in everything.
Yeah.
And that's really the truth. How we are in one thing is how we are in everything.
You gotta write a book.
Man, you know what? There's a lot of wisdom coming out of this today. All these things I'm saying are just stolen from other books, actually. So I'm really just quoting other people here. But I would say that. And finally, I know you said, how would I expose this? I would say this, ask people. You know, this is the hard one, but ask your wife or your husband or ask your friends.
And be prepared for the answer.
You may not want to hear it. Ask your coworkers. Yeah. Hey, how am I viewed here? How do you think of me?
Yeah.
And tell them to be honest. They might be afraid to be honest, but that's really one is, as you get, you'll hear how other people view you. You think, you know, hey, at work, do you think I'm somebody who, you see me as somebody who uses people, kind of manipulative? You may not want to hear that answer. You know, ask the one who really tell you the truth is your husband or wife.
Yeah,
they'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. I think I would say it.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us today. I want to encourage you to listen to this message in its entirety. Powerful message. You can listen to it on the website, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify. You will be blessed by this message. And this message should be an encouragement to all of us to look at our own hearts. Is our heart to serve or to be served? The heart of Christ is to serve and make a difference in someone's life. Have a great week, and we will see you on Sunday.
All right.